Hymns and great messages, obviously, in those hymns as well. Let's take our Bibles together, and we're going to continue our series that we started. We started the series last Sunday night called What Does the Bible Say? And the purpose of it was to dig into Bible truths, and maybe we have an idea of what the Bible says, but it may not be what the Bible says at all. And so we looked at last week to start the series on anger, and what does the Bible say about anger? Is it right to get angry? How can we sin when we're angry? You can go back and look at that. I believe I broke it down biblically and pulled it all together to help us to understand that. And that's available for you online. But we're going to look at tonight, what does the Bible say about prayer and the importance of prayer? So if you could take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the 11th chapter, Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of the importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, shall he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, or being sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at this passage of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us direction and understanding as we consider the topic of prayer for our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a people of prayer and to understand the importance of prayer. So Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time together as we look into your word. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Now the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that John was a teacher of prayer, and obviously because the disciples are saying to Jesus in this Scripture, hey, can you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples how to pray? John was known as a man of prayer. Now, all of us are no doubt known for something. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be known for something that is spiritual. To be known as a person of prayer. To be a person who talks to God and seeks the face of God. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Jesus said unto them. Now, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And he said, after this manner, this is how you're going to pray. Now, this, the Lord's Prayer, you know, there are denominations that take the Lord's Prayer and they quote the Lord's Prayer thinking that this is going to give them a particular blessing in their life. But Jesus made it clear that this is the manner in which you pray. And so this is not a prayer just to be repeated, but this is the Lord Jesus teaching us the pattern of prayer. When I was a child, my dad, you know, my dad got saved later in his life. And, you know, growing up, he didn't have any Bible background or anything. And I remember him taking his children, and we would, before we went to bed, we would always pray. He would pray with us. And I remember as a child, we would say, you know, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake. And we would say that every single night. Now, you know, obviously God wants us to have a sincere prayer. But one thing as a child it taught me is it taught me the pattern of praying before I went to bed. And I learned at an early age the importance of saying goodnight to the Lord. it was a wonderful blessing. And so Jesus gives us the pattern of prayer. He says, listen, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's reverence in prayer. You know, the world would use comments like, you know, the man upstairs. And they really try to bring God down to a human level. But he's not the man upstairs. He's the Creator God. And when we pray with reverence. We're talking to God. The Bible says, hallowed be thy name. See, there's the thunder right there. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This speaks of victory. You know, when we pray, we're not praying in a defeated mode. We come to God because he's victorious. And he's the answers that we need. Thy will be done. Thy will be done as it in heaven, so in earth. And this speaks of his sovereignty, the sovereignty of God. He's the ruler over all. And as we bow before God, we acknowledge him as king. He is king. He is sovereign. Give us day by day. Give us daily our bread. And this speaks of the fact that God is our supply. We come to the Lord and we ask him to supply the needs of our life and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We are forgiven and therefore we forgive. And it really brings us the attitude of humility, humility in our prayers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This speaks of God's help in our life. And all of us need the help of God. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go in unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for the friend of mine is in his journey and is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And so, the example in this passage of Scripture, again, it's not bringing God down to the level of man and comparing God with an earthly father. This is not a comparison. This is a contrast. This is saying if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to their children, how much more we being sinners, we being separated from God, we not being holy as God, how much more is God going to give good gifts to his children? And so in this passage of Scripture, I think it's important for us to understand the very invitation of prayer, that God is saying, you need to pray. You need to seek my face. Let me give you some quotes here tonight on prayer. Over the years, this is what various men of God have said about prayer. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Ian Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Someone said, I had rather stand against the cannons of the wicked than against the prayers of the righteous. That's a wonderful quote. Someone said, an angel fetched Peter out of the prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. That's a wonderful thought. Someone said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And so prayer is important. And prayer is an important part of our Christian life. You know, when we talk about prayer, oftentimes we think about and we talk about the difference between a relationship and a religion, right? A religion says do this, do that in order to gain God's merits. And a relationship is faith in Christ who did on the cross, you know, paid our sin debt so that we can have a relationship with God. And a part of that relationship is communication. And we talk to God through prayer. That's what we teach children, right? At a young age, we say prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. And it takes faith to believe that when we pray, God hears that prayer. Now, in our culture and over the course of time, we automatically assume that when we pray, we close our eyes. You know, and I don't know where that idea came from. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You know, it's like the child who said, you know, his dad was praying, and he says, well, the child says, he's not praying, his eyes are not closed. We close our eyes so that we can kind of shut out everything that's happening around us and focus on the Lord, and that's important. But you can pray, and the Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing. And to pray without ceasing is the constant awareness that God is always with us and that we can always talk to Him. Now, I pray when I drive a car, and I encourage you not to close your eyes when you're driving a car. But that doesn't mean because my eyes are not closed and I'm communing with God and my eyes are not closed that God doesn't hear my prayer. God absolutely hears my prayer. Absolutely He hears my prayer. And, you know, we often have habits of, well, before I eat a meal, I pray and ask God to bless that. Where did that come from? It came from when Jesus fed the multitude. He took the bread and the fishes, and before He broke it, He blessed it, and He thanked God for it. And that's a wonderful pattern for when we eat, you know, to thank God for the food. To thank God and ask God to bless it. Ask God to bless that Big Mac to our bodies. Let God do a miracle in your life. The reality is prayer is important. And prayer is an important part of our life each and every day. There are many victories in our life that is accomplished through only prayer and fasting. There are many victories that are won in our life that only can be accomplished through prayer and fasting. And I think of Mark chapter 9 and verse 28. The Bible says, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? This is the disciples trying to cast out a demon. And they could not cast out this demon. And he said unto them, this kind. Now, when you think of that idea of this kind, It's talking about within the domain of demonic beings, there are principalities and powers. There's various ranks in demonic beings. And as God established his own angelic angels to do his bidding, and the Bible says that he created principalities and powers, the devil always takes what God has done and tries to counterfeit it. And the devil has built his own kingdom, the kingdom of this world, and he has his own angels, if you want to call it, or messengers, or demons. And they have various ranks. And the Bible says here, Jesus said, this kind, this angel, this rank of angel, can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so we understand that as we fight the very demonic powers of the world, that prayer and fasting is a big part of the victories that we're going to have. We must approach it with prayer. And that is so important. Someone said this, through it all, we must keep praying, but be thankful that God's answers, listen to this, be thankful that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. Be thankful that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. And so we're going to look at prayer here and what does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I got lots of verses here, and it's just kind of an overview here of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And again, someone will say, well, how can I pray without ceasing? I believe it's the constant awareness that we can pray at any time. I remember reading a biography of a preacher, and they asked his wife, what was the prayer that her husband often prayed? And she said he would come home, he would sit in this chair, and he would say, Lord, help me. And you know, that it's just a constant awareness that God always hears our prayers. And sometimes it doesn't have to be the long, drawn-out prayers. It can be just the simple, Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need you to be with me. Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to protect me. Those simple prayers are still prayers. They're still prayers. And they're still important prayers in our life. So what does the Bible say about prayer? Well, let's notice, first of all, let's just think about our prayer life. Our prayer life. Now, in the very beginning of our chapter here, again, we believe that we have this blueprint for our prayer life. So look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And notice here a wonderful blueprint for our prayer life. This gives us an idea of how God sees prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And notice what the Bible says here. Verse 5, it says, and when thou prayest. Now notice here, it doesn't command us to pray. Prayer is assumed in the Christian life. When thou prayest, you're gonna pray. You go through a hard time. You go through a difficult time. You go through a time where you're pressured. Listen, as a Christian, you're going to pray. And the Bible says that when you pray, look at this, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shalt shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. Now, this is an important thought, and I'm just giving you here what I've learned about prayer. Sometimes we think that the power of prayer is in the length of the prayer. And here, the Pharisees, they were known for two things. They were known for vain, empty reputations, no heart in what they were saying. They would say long prayers that had big words and spiritual thoughts, and it sounded real good, but the Bible says their heart was far from God. In fact, they would come into the courtroom of the synagogue, and they would stand up, and they would begin to pray, and they would pray nice and loud so that everyone could hear them, so that people could say about them, wow, they must be very spiritual people. And so Jesus is saying that when you pray, it's not about a performance. It's about talking to God. And you probably use that with your children. You know, I'd ask one of my children to pray for a meal, and they would pray, and I would say to them, you're not praying to me, you're praying to God. You're talking to God. And just ask God, thank him for the food and bless the food. You don't have to have a performance here. You're just thanking God for the food. It's like if we were having a conversation together, I wouldn't, you know, all of a sudden get, you know, all, I don't know, oratorical, whatever the word I'm looking for there. But I wouldn't look for this giant swelling speech and say, it's very nice to see you today. You know, there's heart in prayer. And here Jesus is saying about the Pharisees that their prayer was a performance. Their prayer was to be seen of men. Their prayer was to be patted on the back by other people. But that's not what prayer is about. Prayer at its very essence is talking to God. It's talking to God. And so the Bible says that when you pray, get alone. Now, remember, you don't take Matthew 6 and say, well, you should never pray in public. That's not what the Bible is saying. But the Bible is saying that when we take time to pray, we take time and we get alone with God, and we pour out our hearts to God, and we know that God hears that prayer. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And so we notice the conclusion of this. First of all, there's the ability to have a prayer life. The ability to have a prayer life. The Bible teaches us that we have the opportunity to pray. We have the opportunity to seek the face of God. In fact, the Bible says in this scripture here in verse 9, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And it stresses the consistent prayer life. It talks about, it uses words like ask and seek and knock. What do these words teach us? The idea of asking God and the idea of knocking on the door and the idea of seeking or looking is the idea that prayer in itself takes time and effort. It takes us taking time from our life and getting away and praying. It doesn't just happen. Prayer doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up and you're known as someone that prays. You have to take the time to pray. It takes effort to do that. And we have the opportunity to pray to the Lord, and it's a wonderful opportunity to pray. Now, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 26 and notice what the scripture says here. Remember, we're looking at what does the Bible say about prayer. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. The Bible says, "And then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Now, Jesus is God, and God knows everything. And Jesus knew that Satan desired to have Peter. And Jesus knew that Peter was entering a very aggressive spiritual battle. And so he says to Peter, Peter, you need to watch and you need to pray. Could you not at least take the time and watch for 1 hour? And then notice what Jesus says here. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, what defines us is not our willingness to do something. But what defines us is us actually taking the time to do it. Because I don't know about you, my life is filled with good intentions. But just because I want to do something doesn't mean I'm actually going to do it. And we need to make sure that we put the effort in our prayer life, that we put priority on our prayer life, because Jesus is teaching us that this is important. Now, not only is there the opportunity for a prayer life, but think about this, there's also the importunity in our prayer life. Now, the idea of importunity is to continually to ask for something. And the illustration in this passage of Scripture is there's someone who has a traveler over, and he needs some eggs, he needs some food, and he continually asks for that, for what he needs. And we can see this also in the book of Luke, and let's turn there, Luke chapter 18, and notice what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 18. We have this thought as well in this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. Luke 18 verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Now this is the parable. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. And Jesus is teaching us this thought. We should always pray and not faint, or not to give up in our prayers. And so in verse 2, the Bible says, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And as the story goes, the Bible says that she continually comes to this judge, and continually, and I use the word here, bother, but it's the importunity that she continually brings this subject up. And the Bible says in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjudged saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The thought of the passage of Scripture is that we are to be faithful in our prayer life. We are not to faint. We are not to get tired. We are not to give up in our prayer life. We are to continually praying and seeking and knocking and asking God. That's what the Bible teaches us. Pray on, someone said, when rough and dark your pathway and you cannot see the light, when every spark of hope has vanished and bright day has turned to night, pray on, for God doth surely hear you. Nothing well each sad request. Pray then in faith, truly believing that he always gives what's best. Pray on is what the Bible teaches us. And this woman was persistent in her request. She's begging, she's beseeching, she's continual. And the Bible uses this example that we should use for our prayer life. Someone said this, most of us, our prayer life sounds like this. Now I lay me down to rest. I pray the Lord my last request. If God an answer does not send, I will not ask of him again. And oftentimes that's how we approach our prayer. I'm going to ask one more time, God, and if you don't answer my prayer, then I'm done. And that's not the Bible example of prayer. You keep praying. You keep praying. Because this is what God wants us to do. And so there's the opportunity in our prayer life, and that is to seek the face of God. The Bible says to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's no doubt about it. God wants us to be faithful in our prayer life. He wants us to continue to pray. So let's think about number two, the pattern in prayer. The pattern in prayer. What does the Bible say about those who have prayed? Well, I think we pray for various reasons. obviously, if we're going to thank God for anything in our life, we're going to have to pray. You know, if we're going to say, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, thank you for your blessings in my life. This is prayer. Prayer is talking to God. And when we're thanking God, we're praying. We're praying. But when we think of our prayer life, there are times when we specifically pray. And I know this to be true in my own life, and I would assume it's true in your own life. We pray when we have a heavy heart. When we have a heavy heart. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And the Bible says he prayed unto his Father. He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup was not the cup of the cross. It was not the suffering of the cross. The cup of the crucifixion was far more significant than just Jesus being nailed to a cross. It was him becoming the sin of the world. The Bible says he who knew no sin became our sin. And this was the greatest agony for a holy God to become our sin. And that agony, that burden, was so great in the Garden of Gethsemane that when he prayed, he was sweating as great drops of blood, crying out to God in great agony. And the reality is that he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But Jesus still went to the cross. He still drank that bitter cup. Oftentimes in prayer, we come to God saying, God, change the circumstance. Are you guilty of that? I am. Change the circumstance. But really our prayer should be, Lord, change my attitude toward the circumstance. And this is a wonderful thought of prayer. Because as we pray and seek the face of God, what changes is our approach, our attitude. God changes us in prayer. He says, watch and pray. To watch is our awareness, and to pray is our action toward our watching, to seek the face of God. You know, someone said this, that most of our problems in our life are just prayer problems. Think about that for just a moment. Most problems of our life are just prayer problems. In other words, the hymn writer said it this way, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God wants us to come to him with our burdens and our troubled heart. And I know that it's easy to talk about it from a pulpit and harder to do in life. But he wants us to cast those cares on him. And I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better with a burdened heart when I talk to the Lord. Because God knows my heart and God knows the circumstances around every trouble that I face. You know, Jesus was concerned. Jesus was consistent. And Jesus had conversation with his Father. And I think this is a great pattern for our prayer. When we have a troubled heart, take it to Jesus. But also, I think prayer is also about a conforming will. Now, think about this for just a moment. 2 Corinthians, look what the Bible says, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We talk about prayer. Let's think about a conforming will. We talk about that when we pray, what changes or ought to change is our attitude. Now notice the attitude of Paul and the change in his attitude as he seriously comes before the Lord in prayer. He says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times. And I don't think this was three prayers. I think this was three seasons of prayer, by the way. I think three times that Paul got serious in his prayer life. And he asked God to heal him from a physical ailment. He calls it a thorn in his flesh, and that is a physical problem that he had, that he believed he could do more for God if God would heal him. He said, Lord, if you would take this physical ailment away from my life, then I can do more for you. Now, that really debunks the theology that if you're not wealthy or healthy, you're not right with God. Paul was very much right with God. And Paul had a physical ailment in his life. And so three seasons of prayer, he sought the face of God. He poured his heart out to God. And guess the answer that he got? God said, Paul, no. Now, to some people, that would shatter their faith when they take three seasons of prayer and God says, I will not heal you. And this is the reason why, Paul. Because you have a pride problem. And if I don't heal you, or if I heal you, then that pride problem will destroy you. And I'm going to keep you humble so I can keep using you. And so the Bible says in verse 9, the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly. Now, this is Paul's commentary here. He's talking about his own life. And now he's saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you notice the change of attitude in his prayer life? As he had serious conversation with God, he didn't become bitter. He became better. And he realized that God ultimately knew what was best for his life. You know, Paul's praying for this thorn to be removed reminds us of an important truth about prayer. And that is, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. And if you are wrong, God will say grow. But if the request is right, and the timing is right, and you are right, then God will say, go. The reality is God always answers our prayers. It may not be the answer that you're looking for, but he always answers our prayers. And this is important. Thirdly, and I'll be done, notice the plan for prayer. The plan for prayer. I want to help you here. The Bible says this in verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, I want to give you just a small plan here about prayer that I learned from Jesus. Just a couple of thoughts, and I'll be done. Number one, you ought to have a time of prayer. Now, notice that phrase in the Bible, and it came to pass. It came to pass means that there was a certain time every day that Jesus prayed. Every day. Now, I understand we live busy lives and sometimes we can't have a set time for our prayer life. But it's so important to have a time each day where we talk to the Lord. You cannot have a relationship or a close relationship with God if the only time you pray is when a crisis occurs. You can't just walk into your room and take God off the shelf and say, Lord, I need you today. Could you imagine if you treated your spouse that way? You wouldn't have a very close relationship. Could you imagine if the only time you talked to your wife is when there was a crisis or if there was a fight or an argument, if that was the only communication that you had with your spouse, you wouldn't have a close relationship. And God wants us to have a close relationship with him. And that's why he says, pray without ceasing. That's why he says, in everything, give thanks. He wants us to take time to pray. British writer Samuel Chadwick had this to say. He says, to pray as God would let us pray is the greatest achievement on earth. Such a prayer life costs. He said it takes time. All praying saints have spent hours every day in prayer. And these days, there is no time to pray. But without time, and a lot of it, we shall never learn to pray. In other words, if you're going to be a prayer warrior or a person, a Christian of prayer, you're going to have to pray. And that means you're going to have to take time to pray. And so we see here that there was a time of prayer. And then notice this, the Bible says here that Jesus went to a certain place. A certain place. Now, I just told you you could pray anytime. And you don't have to go to a certain place for God to hear you. But I think the idea is just building a routine in your life. And Jesus went to a certain place, probably the place that he always went to, at the time when he always went, and he prayed. Now, whether that's in your chair, don't get too comfortable, though, because you'll fall asleep. Or whether that's in your room or maybe a desk or even in your car, there ought to be a place where you go, a certain place, where you take time and you talk to God to get away from the rush, to get away from the clamor, to get away from the hassle and the bustle of life, to get away from all of it and just get alone with God. And then lastly, and I'll be done, we ought to be a people of prayer. You know, John the Baptist was known for his prayer life. Jesus was known for his prayer life. In this passage of scripture, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray." We ought to be also known as a people of prayer. And I get it. I don't think there's a Christian here tonight that would say they don't want to pray, but our flesh is weak, and life is busy, and things get eaten up, and all of a sudden the day is gone, and we haven't talked to God, and it's easy to do, and one day turns to two, and all of a sudden we have a routine that the only time we pray is in a time of crisis, when God has to put us on our knees. We don't want that. We want to be a people of prayer. I'm going to end with this story. I heard the story of a famous preacher. He was preaching in a camp, a Bible camp one summer. And this preacher was pretty popular among Christians. And there was this young man who had listened to his preaching and really was excited to see him and just to see his spiritual routine. And he was really excited to see his prayer life, to see this man of God pray. And so it came into the evening, and this young man was in the same cabin as this preacher. And he was so excited to hear the preacher pray before he went to bed. And the preacher, he just crawled up into his bed and went to sleep. And the young man was disappointed. He couldn't believe it. He didn't understand. And it was bothering him enough that he had to ask this preacher. So when the morning came and there was some time, he walked up to him and he said, called this preacher by name. And he said to him, he says, "I thought, you know, that when you went to bed that you would spend a lot of time in prayer with the Lord." And that old preacher kind of dropped his glasses and looked at that young man and said, "Son," he said, "when you've been talking to the Lord all day, it doesn't take long to say goodnight." And that's the kind of reputation we want, is to be a people of prayer, have specific times where we seek the face of God, and look to the Lord in every area of our life, to be thankful, to pray for and to thank God for successes and ask God to help us in failures, but to be a people of prayer. And I think it's a great blessing and an opportunity for us to pray. Let's pray together, can we? Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done, and we're grateful.